Hello, everyone, and welcome to My Life Temple podcast. My name is Donna Politis, and I'm here with Danielle Dow, my partner at the temple, and our special guest, Lorraine Perrance. Lorraine is a rapid transformational therapy therapist, and she practices especially with gambling recovery. And this is really interesting because Lorraine has a history that she'll tell us about. We'll hear from her herself. With a gambling addiction that was in her family that led her to create a career and a helping, a service to many other people in terms of dealing with their gambling addiction. Lorraine is a former senior manager in the NHS, and she worked there also during the COVID pandemic. And immersed herself into learning about Marissa Peer's work with rapid transformational therapy training. So she's been inspired and fascinated by this therapy and embarked on this journey to become a therapist with this technique. So we're going to hear about her amazing journey and her amazing story. Lorraine also happens to be a phenomenal person, a very loving and caring person. So her service through this rapid transformational therapy technique towards people, for people with gambling issues, which we'll learn more about, is truly from her heart. And we can't wait to hear more about her story. So Lorraine, welcome.
Thank you, Donna, and what a pleasure to be here with you both. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story. Back in the 90s, I got two smart sons in the approximately 7, 9. I was married, and my father was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumour, and at the same time we'd got a holiday booked, and we went on a 2-week holiday, and I, because I was sort of working, I had not seen lots of things like post, mail, etc. So during this downtime, I suddenly started to think, I've not seen a lot of things like mail and stuff. And then on the holiday, there were some race nights, and noticed my husband at the time sort of quite excessively at the race, on the race nights. And then when we got back, discovered that my he was a compulsive gambler. Sadly, I also lost my dad at a very similar time, and it was quite difficult for me to deal with. Lots of court cases for financial affairs, etc., because we ended up splitting up for many other reasons beside the gambling. And I went through this journey of being really angry and disbelief and shock. And in the end, I realized that the only person that was hurting was myself. So I went about this journey of learning about gambling addiction to try and make me understand it and why they do it, and why it has, you know, such a massive impact on families. Fast forward a few years, and I worked in the NHS for many years. And then, as you say, Donna, during the pandemic, I had a bit of time off and thought, Marissa Peer kept popping up, so went on to do all the, well, I did virtual classroom training, and then the very first live to open was not far from where I live in the UK. So then I had live training with Marissa Peer and became a fully qualified therapist last July. And then I saw that people were working with addiction. I was also a member of a Facebook group to support families. So I sort of had a conversation of, could I help gamblers with this rapid transformational therapy or the families? And then I decided if I helped the gamblers, it would help the families too. And I obviously support them also in with them meditations and things to help calm the minds of the families who are under this immense stress and anxiety. And the clients I've worked with, the gamblers, which has been worldwide, virtual, online, so they're in the privacy of where their environment has been just revolutionary for them. lots of things that have come up from the past, rejection. It's made them feel disconnected, and has had some fabulous results, real. And it's really important to say that for somebody with a gambling addiction, the key thing is here, they've got to want to change and come out of the addiction or help manage that 100%, because if they don't, it won't work. If it's somebody saying you've got to go for therapy and they don't truly want it, you can equip people with the tools, but they've absolutely got to want to do this 100%. And I've seen some real life-changing results. It's been phenomenal.
So it's interesting you say that. I had two questions come up, and you already answered the one, which was, how does someone go about getting this help? And like you said, they need to want it first, because that's going to generate the best results. And then you also mentioned the benefits and the results. Can you be more specific? Because that really perked up my ears in terms of what would be some specific results that you've seen in people already.
So a lot of it is rejection. So when they've absolutely had this light bulb moment, they've let go a lot of emotion, real release, outpours during the session. And then afterwards, obviously, we do the follow-ups to check how they're doing. And people that have just been so disconnected, antisocial, have reverted back to pre-gambling, playing sport, connecting with people, having a laugh, feeling this immense release, and they just feel so empowered and they feel amazing. It's really incredible. And with an addiction, sometimes it takes more than one session, up to three sessions, because as we always describe it, a bit like an onion, there's layers to take away. But even just with one session, the results have been truly phenomenal. A lot of gamblers feel shame and guilt. We work through all of that. And there was a hypnosis recording that they listened to for 21 days. Well, in my case, I say 28. They listened to that every day, because we've removed all those negative beliefs and we've installed really powerful ones that are relevant to today. And I always ask them, what would they like to hear in the recordings and all the words they'd love to have heard? And the feedback I get from them is truly phenomenal. It's absolutely life-changing. So it's, yes, I feel it's my calling and exactly where I should be in life.
By helping gamblers, you help their families as well, and you help their loved ones. Do you have also services for their loved ones when someone comes to you? Like you said at the beginning, maybe suffering more than your ex-husband, because it was a very emotional process as well. Not to be able to do anything about it, not to be able to help your husband, your ex-husband through quitting gambling. Because again, as you said, you need to really want to quit, you need to want the change. So if someone doesn't see that or doesn't want that, it's really difficult for anyone in the family or friends or anyone to help that person. So do you also support the families?
Yes, absolutely. So like I said, initially I was concentrated on gamblers, and there's a big thing with stress and anxiety. And I'm now starting to support with that, with the families. They've got to want that, because it is this, it's almost like a trauma in itself. You're so shocked that somebody has put you in this very fragile financial state, but that they have got to really, you've really got to be in a good place to want the help. And it's interesting because I'm in gambling groups and they are so, I see it on both sides now. So the gamblers are actually really frightened about telling the families because they're worried about the reaction. And they feel so more empowered, interestingly, when the families say, I've got it, I'll totally support you. But the majority of the scene have just like total disbelief and shock. So it's really good to support them. So I'm now starting to do sort of meditation. Well, I've just put a request out to say what sort of things will help you. What tools can I equip to help you with this? If people wanted those sessions, obviously I can't do the conflict if it was to be the member of the family within that group with a partner. But yes, I'm going to build on that, supporting them, because it's so important.
And another question I wanted to ask you, how can we support a family, or how can we raise the awareness that they need support?
Yeah, well, I think they're both very vulnerable positions, and they both need a lot of support. Interestingly, I was having a conversation about this while I was away. There's lots of different support groups in different countries, and a lot of these groups are worldwide. It'd be really and something that I am going to sort of look into further and to seek clarity on is, if somebody comes from a country, people are then commenting from their own country, and I think it would be really helpful to have central resources. And I think a really big thing as well, financial. People don't know where to go for financial help. And that's where they sort of get put the head under the carpet and pretend it's not happening type of thing. And I think they just need a hand-holding process to get them through this, because sometimes people just can't see a solution, and there are solutions out there. And it's just sort of, I think it needs to be more bespoke for each country.
So that kind of leads me to my next question, is if someone is not sure if they do have an addiction, if it's gone out of control, from your experience, what you've seen both personally and professionally, how could you perhaps maybe help the listeners identify whether it's a family member or someone in that position that perhaps isn't recognizing that it's gotten to a stage where it's becoming an addiction, or it already is, and it can be in a destructive pattern, self-destructive and destructive to the family? What are some of the signs that someone can be aware of?
The red flag is financial. So if I give myself an example of, throughout my career, I was sort of getting promoted, but having less income available, we had joint accounts, and it was it started to then tip over into how much I could spend on food and that sort of thing. That is a big red flag when somebody is affecting the household income. So some people will say, I gamble, I've got £200 of my own every month and I go out and gamble, but I don't go over that. And it's when they start tipping over that threshold that then it's the red flag time of, there's something wrong here. But equally, to be very vigilant of also is, gamblers, it's very much a hidden addiction. And back in my day, it was, you were going to a casino or a bookie shop, for men and women equally. Now it is, I can sit on the phone in front of all my family and gamble and they would not know. So that is quite, it is a red flag that it's sort of, you've got to be sort of quite aware of that. Irritability is another thing, definitely where you're feeling you're with somebody that's irritable, quite low in mood, distracted, doesn't really have any interest in anything to do with family, because all that's on their mind at the time is gambling. So those are sort of real red flags to me in the first instance.
May I ask you how long within the relationship until you found out that your ex was gambling? This must have been a really painful process.
Yeah, so as I described in the beginning, I initially found out it was the end of the August of 1 year. And then my dad died in the December. So I was 30 and my dad was 57 when he died. As you can imagine, that was quite traumatic in itself. There was lots of other factors, not just gambling, which led to the split. And I think that's really important from my instance, because I was happy to help with the assistance of getting through that. Recovery, obviously there was GA, Gamblers Anonymous. There was support for family, but I was told that I couldn't, there wasn't. But and then that became another excuse, I understand, to go out gambling, because I was told I couldn't attend. And then I had bereavement counselling in the February, and the counsellor knew of all the issues and said, you've just lost your dad 2 months ago, you need to just stick with this. And then there just became so many sequences of events that it was then, it was the following January. So I stayed for quite some time, towards the 18 month mark. But there was lots of other factors.
Okay.
But it's really important to know that I wanted to work through all of the gambling issues.
Well, the thing is, like, it's such a difficult addiction to manage, because you don't know about it, because like you said, it could be it's a silent addiction, so you don't see a lot of traces until really the financial part of it becomes like really in a very critical situation where you have debt in bank, you see your expenditures kind of leaking, and you don't understand what's happening, where you start questioning your partner or your loved one. But before all of this, you just can't know. It's not like alcohol. It's not like drugs. It's not even like a sex addiction, I would say. You can go really silent about it for a long time. Thank you so much for sharing so many personal insights about it as well.
Oh, it's good to share if it helps others. I mean, the good thing about the banks nowadays is, for example, in the United Kingdom, the banks are getting more involved now. So I know there's work on sort of looking at red flags, and I believe they stop credit cards into gambling establishments. For me, it was moving into my bank account, which then allowed him to put extra overdrafts, because it was one or either signature. So all of this became a big shock to me. But I think they're putting in a lot of processes now to ensure that doesn't happen.
I'm curious, in terms of the families, let's assume that the person with the gambling addiction is seeking out help. What's your advice for the families, especially the spouse, because it could be a man or a woman with the gambling addiction, especially the spouse with kids? What kind of conversations can they have with their kids, especially if they're of a certain age? Like your boys were teens, I think, at that point.
They were younger, so it wasn't until they were older. So they had quite a lot of trauma themselves. I lost my dad that they were very close to. So at such a young age, that wasn't really discussed at such a young age, but they knew about it when they were older, and they knew that, as I said earlier, because I did a lot of education and research into trying to understand it, I used to say, it is an illness, and people with a gambling addiction don't mean to do what they do. They just, it's people understanding, because people get so angry and say, I can't believe they're doing this. Just my advice would be is, and what I always say to people, you need to really gain some insight into this, because they don't mean to do it. And the ones that have the better success rates are the ones where the families are actually supporting them through this.
That's
so my advice is to learn. Sorry, Daniel.
No, that's really important to mention. Thank you so much, because it helps, because I think a lot of families also, they feel cheated, right? So there's a lot of anger that surfaces once they know. And it's important to understand that if you want to really help that individual that who you really love, it's to really be supportive, because it is a struggle for them. Thank you so much, Lorraine. It's really a lot of insights, and I somehow feel with you, you know, when you're talking of how challenging this must have been to you and to your sons, and especially you, I mean, wanting to raise a happy, balanced family, and also dealing with your father's loss, and somehow also your separation, and facing the fact that that your ex has got. Has got gambling issues, so gambling addictions. It's just too many things to process at the same time. And I really praise you for that, and for your strength, and for really wanting to be out there and helping people, because you have the insight, knowledge and empathy, so that you can give the right empathy to the people who struggle with this issue.
Yes, and in the UK, they call it lived experience, which is I have been, the people that I see now, I have lived what they have lived. So I completely get it. It's the most, it is a very weird feeling. And I'm so happy to have turned this around that I can now help and support others. And rapid transformational therapy has helped me with all my stuff, as in, you know, I've had limiting beliefs, and, you know, I've gone through a great healing journey myself. It's been amazing.
We all did through rapid transformational therapy. It's such an incredible therapy. And and just one last question, Lorraine. How many sessions do you think one needs, like the gambler and the person who's affected by the gambler's behavior or lifestyle?
So a gambler with an addiction, we normally say 1 to 3 sessions, because you're just peeling away underlying stuff. One session can have a great big insight, but additional ones will really help get to the root cause. I mean, the key to all of this is getting to the root cause of the addiction, and the families, it depends of contributing factors, but again, one session can have a great effect.
Okay. And we're very happy, Lorraine, that you're joining our team. For everyone listening, Lorraine is going to offer her services on our platform as well, and we're really honored for that. Thank you.
I'm very excited to be doing it. Thank you.
Lorraine, I also want to acknowledge you on your journey, because it really shows through the depth of your compassion, everything that you've been through, and how you not only transformed it, you persevered through it. You didn't bypass anything. You went through all of the mud to bloom as this gorgeous lotus, where you are now in the brightness, in the aftermath of everything that you've experienced. And having met one of your sons, I see his brightness as well. So you've done an amazing job as a mom, persevering through all of the challenges that Danielle listed. And now you get to share this with such a calming presence. I find your voice very calming, your presence very calming. So I can feel the essence of what it is that you transfer to your clients as well. And how, with such loving compassion, you can help them transform in their own journey, right? There's no judgment, no criticism. It's all about compassion and empathy and understanding. And like you said, once you determine the route, then it's kind of, you know, much more smooth sailing from there, because as we've all experienced, being practitioners of RTT, that once we have those tools, then every day thereafter becomes much more apparent when and if we come back to those old habits. It's like the little light bulbs go off, and it's much easier to course correct when you have these fabulous tools at your expense. So I echo Danielle. Welcome to the team. It's amazing to have you here and to have you on this podcast to share your story, which I'm such a big proponent of stories. I believe stories help us really grow and share from wisdom and experience. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.